Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to the Friday Morning Show with C.A. Brooks on 1-2 Radio, changing the way we think about and experience our world. And specifically, when I do the Friday Morning Show, and as you all know, if you listen in on Fridays, we kind of take turns. I have been taking turns with Mark Hessen, but I think that's about to change. We're going to bring in some other hosts coming up in the near future, so watch for that. But when I do the Friday Morning Show, I like to talk about spirituality and specifically about A Course in Miracles. So this is the third Friday of the month. I usually do the first and third. And so this is September 15th if you're listening live. And even if you're not listening live, it's still September 15th when I'm talking. And so on today's show, we will be discussing A Course in Miracles with writer, web designer, and ACIM teacher Bruce Rawls. Now, Bruce and I, as we talk once a month, we have been talking about the manual for teachers and looking specifically at one of the beginning sections, which they call the characteristics of God's teachers. And there's 10 characteristics that are described. Now, in truth, it's one thing. I mean, it's really one characteristic, but there's different facets of those characteristics. So we've already been talking about trust, which is the very first one. And so today we're going to move on to honesty and possibly tolerance. We'll see how far we get. So if you have A Course in Miracles and you want to pull out that manual, then you can kind of follow along. And speaking of following along, you can also do that by going over to Facebook and joining us in our private group. And if you haven't been there before, I can tell you an easy way to get there. Just go over to our website, which is 12radio.com. Look on the left side of the page, and there is a link that says chat. And when you click on that link, you'll be automatically redirected over to Facebook, where you can ask to join the group. And Scott, who is our producer today, is going to let you come on in, and you can join the people already there, like Greg and Renee. Hey, thanks for being here and coming on into the room. And it's just nice to see your faces. So thanks for doing that. So that's a way you can participate. You can ask questions. You can post comments, that sort of thing. And I try to do a little multitasking and kind of keep an eye on that as we're talking. But of course, you know me, I can get pretty wrapped up in what I'm talking about. So let's get on with the show. Welcome, Bruce. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you, CA. Always a joy to participate and share with you and your audience.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, it's always so much fun to talk to you. And I'm very, very thankful to you and to Susan, who are regulars on this show, because it just keeps me in line with other people's thinking. Because in fact, I was just thinking this morning, because I have been rereading Ken's manual for teachers. I mean, you know, the journey through the manual, and I love it. But I have this tendency. I mean, this is how I've always been. Whatever it is I'm reading, whether it's the Bible or it's A Course in Miracles or it's a novel or it's a bestseller, I always want to read it first myself. And then I'll go and look at other people's opinions. Mm-hmm. But I don't want somebody's opinion before I read it for myself. And mm-hmm. I was just kind of thinking about that this morning. But of course, what can happen there too is sometimes you can get off track, because if your opinion you know, you can totally get off track and you don't even know you're off track. So I love going back to, you know, Ken's journey through the workbook and through the manual and through the text, because I go, you know, it's like it does give me a different perspective sometime. And the same thing when I talk to you, it helps me, you know, just see things a different way, get a different perspective. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. And very much likewise. I find that all these conversations just remind me of, oh, yeah, that's right. I could see peace instead of this. I could choose differently. All those kind of things, you know, as you point out, you know, we, you know, our minds drift around and I think it's because, you know, again, as Ken, our favorite course teacher, Ken Wapnick, suggests, you know, we have an enormous resistance to really finding and keeping the peace that we never left. And so, you know, that is sort of one of the mechanisms that the ego mind, if you will, uses to implement the resistance, which is mind wandering. And of course it says we're much far too tolerant of mind wandering. And one of the teachers, the characteristics of the teachers is tolerance. But I think in this case, in the context that we're talking about here, it's just, you know, we tolerate the ego far too much, and instead of applying tolerance to the true essence of what we are, to, and seeing that in all, everyone we meet, and being tolerant of the behavior of ourself and others, and you know, just watching the dream drama play out, and cultivating a little inner laugh about that. Sometimes even an external one too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
And I would always like to set the stage, especially for new people that are coming in, or maybe people who are not that familiar with A Course in Miracles, by saying a couple things. One, mm-hmm. it's never what you think. It's never what you think. You know, like for instance, when I posted this morning, I said, come on in, we're going to talk about characteristics of God's teachers. Well, I can tell you right away, if I read that, I'd go, boring. You know, and then again, you know, like, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about honesty and tolerance. Okay, I know about honesty and tolerance. I don't need to hear about that. And of course, in miracles, one of the big things, I think, is kind of turning around our thinking about some of these words. Mm-hmm. And that's often the case in A Course in Miracles, is yes. you go in thinking you know what they're talking about. But if you're really reading it, no, you are clueless about what they're talking about. There are different definitions, and these two are not any exception. So it's always important to just go in with an open mind versus going, okay, been there, done that. I know what they're talking about. Because at least in my experience, and, you know, not that I know everything, but I mean, you know, I'm getting up there in the years, and I've been exposed to a lot. And A Course in Miracles was one of the first things that I would say truly opened my eyes or truly surprised me, because I thought I knew what it was and I was clueless. So once I started really reading, I thought, oh, they're using these words differently, or that's not exactly what they're talking about. So it was really worth keeping an open mind instead of just kind of perusing through it and thinking that I knew exactly what they were talking about. And along that line, so when we use those words like characteristics of God's teachers, the one thing that the Course insists on, and the manual specifically, is that we are all teachers because we teach all the time. We always demonstrate by our words, by our thoughts, by our actions, what we believe. And in fact, that applies so much to this first, to this characteristic, which is actually number two in the manual, honesty. You know, whether or not we're consistent, but we're always teaching. We are always demonstrating. So in some ways, we're all teachers, because what we're doing in our lives is a demonstration. It's a teaching to other people what we think they should be insisting on in their own lives. So that's exactly what we're doing. We're all teachers. However, in the manual, when it says advanced teachers of God, usually they're talking about somebody who has at least become more conscious that they want to do something different in their lives. They probably have read A Course in Miracles and done the workbook. So that's a distinction too. You know, we're all teachers all the time, but advanced teachers are those who are literally making a choice and saying, I recognize there's the teacher of the ego, and I recognize there's another teacher. Whether or not you call that God, whether you call it the Holy Spirit, you know, the higher self within you, Jesus, whatever it is, you recognize that there are two teachers, and that you can, therefore, choose between two thought systems. So an advanced teacher is somebody who says consciously, ah, I want to choose my teacher. I'm not just unconsciously doing this. So that's kind of the preface that I would put here, because like I said, I think for a lot of people, the minute you say, I know when I first looked at the Course and I saw a manual for teachers, I thought, why would I read that? I'm not a teacher of a course. You know, that's not what I'm doing. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about all of us as teachers. So Bruce, would you like to add anything to that?
I think what you just said is a perfect preface, because we really, you know, do need to keep in mind, and thank you for reiterating that with each of these sessions we've done on this section, that, you know, it's very important to remember that we're all, like you say, we're all teaching all the time, and we're teaching from the curriculum of one or two teachers, either the thought system of total inclusion, which is where the Course suggests we return, or the thought system of everybody for themselves, the unshared interest, shall we say, of the ego thought system, which is, if we are honest with ourselves, which we're going to talk about, we'd have to say, you know, I know Susan Dugan uses this phrase a lot, so I kind of tip of the hat to her because I like this phrase is, you know, if you kind of imagine our inner teacher saying, how's that working out for you?
Yes.
If we're honest with ourselves and we look at the times that we use the self-interest and the, you know, the frenetic trying to make the dream work at anyone's and everyone's expense. How's that working out for you? The only honest answer to that in truth is not so well.
That's right.
So yeah, again, thank you for that excellent preface because it really is important to remember it's always and only about the mind and it's, and we're all teachers and we're all remembering and helping each other remember that, you know, what we teach is really what we hold in our minds in any given moment. And we're teaching ourselves, most importantly. But then, because minds are joined, we're also teaching every seemingly other person or being in the cosmos.
Yes. Well, and thanks for saying that too, because you're right. We're always teaching ourselves. You know, here again in the manual, it says we teach to learn it ourselves. You know, what we teach, we learn, and what we learn, we teach. You know, it's a continual cycle. So if we want to reinforce separation in other people, that's what we're learning for ourselves as well. If we want to reinforce individuality, or if we want to reinforce conflict, that's what we're teaching ourselves as well as trying to reinforce it in other people, regardless of what we think we're doing.
It's always an exercise in just being mindful and being gentle with when we catch ourselves using our decision-making faculty in our mind to choose something that's less than wonderful, which is really the belief that somehow a dysfunctional dream that we made up could satisfy us ultimately. And so, yeah, being honest with ourselves about that is really, sometimes it's a sobering process, but ultimately I think there's a great joy and a great freedom and a levity that comes from saying, you know, there really is an alternative that does work. And it's not about doing anything. It's just about remembering that we have a choice in the mind and that it's a being that we really are that we can remember and we can return that to our awareness by shifting our identity back to that inclusive one that lets everybody off the hook, including ourselves.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and one of the things Ken Wapnick says when he's talking about honest is he said, everything is of one piece. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know why, but that just really struck me because I think once again, one of, you know, my issues is I want to make everything really complicated. I want to think that it's really, really complicated. And so when he said that everything is of one piece. So once again, it always goes back to which choice do you want to make? You don't have 10 choices and 12 choices and 100 choices. You have one choice. Mm-hmm. Do you want peace? Do you want to believe in oneness or do you want separation and conflict? Yep. That's your only choice. And so everything flows from that one decision, which is what honesty is about.
Exactly.
You know?
And there's a visual metaphor that I find helpful too. And the course touches on it briefly in a place or two. I don't recall how many exactly, but there's the vertical contrasted with the horizontal realm of choices. And in the metaphor that the course uses, the vertical one is really kind of the above the battleground perspective where we look above with our inner kindness teacher, aka Holy Spirit, at the ego shenanigans and see that it's not getting us where we really want to be in terms of peace. And it really is just that one choice, as you point out, that is really the choice for the right-minded thinking that sees everyone's interests as the same as mine and trusts that process that lifts us above, if you will, the dog eat dog and the divisive and adversarial realm that the ego is only knows. Because in that realm, there appear to be, you know, an infinite number of horizontal choices within the dream of our lives where we think that, well, if I just keep playing around with manipulating the characters and the stage props and this dream of mine, eventually I'll, you know, figure it all out and be able to be happy here. Well, as Ken points out, we never really, you know, mature until we recognize that we can't ultimately be happy here. And I think that's part of the consistency that, that this section on honesty is talking about, is to be consistently aware of the fact that we really can choose against the insanity of that egoic thinking and consistently find more and more peace. And I think it's a process that we, you know, it seems to take a long time, but over time, I think you can sort of track the number of deep dives into ego and contrast that with the times where kind of maintaining an even keel in terms of being able to gently laugh at our ego's craziness and decide against it and not in any kind of condemning way, but just in a very gentle, observational way that just says, you know, that identity doesn't work for me anymore. And gradually, patiently, consistently we choose against that and discover we're, you know, where we never left really above the battleground in our mind.
So. Mm-hmm.
Should we read some of the?
Yep. Yeah. Let's start.
Okay. And I, while you were talking a few moments ago, I reached into my closet and grabbed the manual for teachers, Journey Through the Manual for Teachers, so I've turned to that section on honesty and tolerance.
Uh-huh. So. Okay. Good. Yeah. And by the way, in case I didn't give a good enough definition of that, Ken Wapnick is a teacher who is very well respected around the world as being, you know, like literally one of the best. And once he read The Course in Miracles, he dedicated his life to teaching it and literally has put together this manual or this journey through the manual. He also has a journey through the text, journey through the workbook, which is available from a foundation for A Course in Miracles, which is facim.org. Now it might be available in other places too. In fact, you might even find it in a used bookstore or something like that, but they really are just priceless tools for anybody who's serious about studying A Course in Miracles. So that's what we're talking about. We're looking at that journey through the manual that was written by Ken Wapnick.
Yes. And just as a footnote to that, I think that the three Journey Through the series for the text, workbook, and manual are Ken's summa cum laude work, in my opinion. I think they're, well, not that anything that else he did is slouchy at all. But,
yeah, really. But, what a scholar.
But if you had to just pick, you know, three items from Ken's vast collection of prolific work, those would be really good choices to be stranded on a desert island with a course and those three items, because they really do open up tremendously.
Yes, they do. And, one thing I really like is, in fact, when I'm traveling, is because the journeys, like he has the entire text or the entire manual within it. So like, for instance, he'll have the paragraph and then he'll talk about it. So I can literally take one book and then I've got both A Course in Miracles and Ken's, you know, editorializing about it. And I kind of like that too, because it kind of cuts down on, once again, complication. If I'm traveling, or even if I'm just like going out onto the porch and I want to read for a while, I used to take, all the books, and now it's like, well, you don't really need all the books, because he's saying right here exactly where he's getting this from the text or from the workbook or from the manual. So that's kind of nice too, if you want to kind of, keep it simple when you're reading.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, one comment on that before we jump back in is that the journey through the workbook and the manual are line by line, where the journey through the text, he basically excerpts portions of the text,
uh-huh.
But he certainly captures the heart and soul of the text without doing an exhaustive coverage as he did in the other two volumes.
Yes. And those are multi-volumes of his too.
Exactly. Even still, it took four volumes to go through his journey through the text.
Right.
if he had done the same treatment, I think, on the text, it probably would have been like 20 or 30 volumes.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you for making that clarification.
Sure. Yeah. But they're all very worthwhile, and they're all just wonderful adjuncts to the course. So if anybody has the least interest in, deepening their study of A Course in Miracles, they're highly recommended.
Okay. All right. So you want to start reading Honesty?
Sure. It begins, "All other traits of God's teachers rest on trust," which is what we spent the last two conversations on. "Once that has been achieved, the others cannot fail to follow. Only the trusting can afford honesty, for only they can see its value. Honesty does not apply only to what you say. The term actually means consistency, which we touched on a few minutes ago. There is nothing you say that contradicts what you think or do. No thought opposes any other thought. No act belies your word, and no word lacks agreement with another. Such are the truly honest. At no level are they in conflict with themselves. Therefore, it is impossible for them to be in conflict with anyone or anything. So right there, as with so many other places in the course, we have a wonderful exercise in cognitive dissonance, don't we?
Yes. Yes.
Since I think anybody, again, honest with themselves reading that would say, oh, well, that's a great, a great and noble goal to be that consistent, but I don't think I'm quite there yet. You know, in fact, if we're honest with ourselves, most of the time, most of the day, you know, we're doing things that benefit Bruce and CA and whoever else is listening, and you know, not necessarily, you know, damn everyone else, you know, to hell with everyone else, but usually there's an emphasis that's more than just a casual, you know, unimportant preference, that's applied to whether things happen or don't happen in the world, you know. So I think that's, you know, this addresses a huge scope of our mind here, doesn't it?
Yes. And in this one paragraph, truly, we could spend hours talking just about the lines in this particular paragraph, because this is so important to get right up front that honesty isn't about what you say, even though that's a part of it, that honesty, in fact, Ken says, the description of honesty does not center on behavior, verbal or physical, but on thought. Honesty is defined as consistency. What you say reflects what you think or believe. And when you think about it, that's exactly what we don't do all the time. Or, you know, when he says, if you're honest about what you really want. And maybe this is because, you know, like, for instance, I've said before, I hate that phrase when people, well, I shouldn't say hate, but I do. Okay. I hate that phrase when people say it's all good. Cause you know what? It's not. Sometimes it's crap. And it's like, what are you saying? It's all good. I'm upset about this. Now, in truth, I guess if you wanted to put it at the very highest spiritual level, yeah, it's all good because it's all the same. It is all oneness. But you know what? That's not what our experience is. Right. And so this honesty comes at, you know, it to me, this is so integral that how much self-conflict we have. We say we want peace. I mean, that's a good example right there. We say we want peace, but our behavior does not reflect that. You know, we don't do things that are peaceful for the most part. We believe in separate interests. And as long as we have separate interests, what does peace mean? It means I get what I want and you don't. Is that peace? And so to me, that's a perfect example of, we all say, you know, in fact, kind of the joke from that one of those movies was, you know, we all want world peace, but do we? You know, we don't even seem to want peace in our own lives. We dwell on conflict. You know, we love to be right. We would rather be right than be happy. And so this one, when I was reading this, it just so resonated with me that the honesty, it's not about whether or not I lie to you. It's not about what I'm saying to you. It's about the honesty within myself. You know, I say I want something, or I want to be spiritual, or I want peace, or I want to follow the inner guide and teacher, but do I do it? You know, that's where the honesty comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that he's saying that this is an inner thing. And like in the next paragraph, it says conflict is inevitable result of self-deception, and self-deception is dishonesty. You know, we've got to come to terms with, like you said, monitoring, watching, looking at our own behavior, and then literally coming to a place of forgiving it, understanding what we're doing. So this isn't, you know, once again, if you pick this up and say, oh, well, I'm an honest person, I don't lie. Well, we lie to ourselves all the time because we say we want one thing, but we do something else. And so I'm on a tirade here, aren't I?
Oh no, it's a very important one, and you may bring up some great points. In fact, I was just going to expand on one of the things that you said, where you talked about, you know, if we look at our behavior, I think in the broader sense, what the course is asking us to do is, you know, maybe start there if that's, you know, helpful, but look at our mind and look at what we consistently choose in terms of our thoughts. And it's not about the thoughts, it's about our identification with those thoughts and the willingness to look at what we want to identify with. And, you know, because the behavior, if you will, that the course is talking about is our mental behavior, if you will, mm-hmm. First and foremost, and whether or not that reflects outwardly in a physical behavior ultimately is irrelevant. Although generally speaking, you know, if we're thinking thoughts that are in alignment with our inner kindness teacher, we will probably express fairly consistently in behavior that at least to our thinking is kind. Other people may or may not always think that way. And I think that's where, in Ken's commentary, he says, you know, says about everything is of one piece. About 1600 years ago, St. Augustine said, love and do what you will. When love is in your heart, everything you do will reflect it. The honesty and consistency Jesus speaks of here. He's saying that we should not judge according to the form, in effect behavior, which is the way the world looks at everything. Mm-hmm. Rather, he tells us to look at the content, in effect the thought or motivation. For if the content is loving and right-minded, whatever is said or done will be helpful. And then to conclude, he says, thus the teacher you have chosen represents the oneness of heaven, and his love is automatically reflected in your perception by seeing the oneness of God's Son in everyone. As you will no longer see separate interests, there can be no conflict with anyone, excuse me, regardless of behavior. This greatly simplifies our lives, making peace of mind inevitable. So the inevitability of the peace of mind is I think a very inspiring part of the course. And what this very challenging, characteristic suggests is that if we consistently become more and more honest with ourselves and more aware of the ego's lie, if you will, and without condemning it, we will find the peace that we mm-hmm. never left. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And thank you for reading that from Ken's, Ken's book. Because yeah, it's just, I mean, like I said, when I saw this one, I thought, oh my gosh, every single sentence. And in the next one too, intolerance, every single sentence is so important if we stop and think about it. But once again, if we choose an inner teacher, that represents oneness, that represents shared interests, that represents kindness and love, then in a sense, I'm not going to say we don't need to worry about our behavior, but we will naturally do because it's like it flows from right. that belief system. And exactly. which, you know, is what we see a lot of. Like, for instance, when, you know, so once again, I go back to what people say, honest. You know, they'll say something really hurtful and they'll go, well, that's honest. That's the truth. But it's very, very hurtful to another person. And you have to wonder, okay, well, number one, is that the truth? But, you know, that doesn't flow from love. So is that honesty? Mm-hmm. You know, and I guess in some ways it's honesty if the ego is your teacher. Because the ego is trying to get us, or the ego does reinforce that we have different interests. And therefore, you know, maybe hurting somebody else's feelings or maybe saying something like that. Maybe that, I mean, it is consistent with the ego. It gets us where, what we think we want, but that goes back to what is it we really want?
Exactly.
And that's never what we really want.
As you're saying that, see, I was thinking, you know, in the supplements, they talk about forgiveness to destroy in the Song of Prayer. Or maybe it's a psychotherapy. Anyway, one of the two supplements.
Yeah.
but I think that we could also say, you know, the ego's honesty to destroy is really what is being spoken of here.
Mm-hmm.
But when we use, you know, behavior and words that are along the lines of what you're just talking about, where it's like, well, this is, you know, painfully or brutally honest. Usually,
right.
that's usually a clue that we need to look at what's the motivation, you know, why. The why is so vitally important that we do anything or say anything or more fundamentally think anything. And if we recognize the why, what's motivating us at any given moment, we will see that the motivation determines the outcome, you know, and the motivation really follows which teacher we've aligned ourselves with at any given mm-hmm. moment.
Which, and of course, to me, what is almost amusing is that when somebody will say, well, that's the truth, that's what's real, and it's nothing more than a perception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's right. no more real than something else.
Exactly. So that ties into the whole realm of level confusion and how we want to make the all of our space-time dream dramas, you know, the truth, and our in some sectors of the world anyway, our worship of science as an end in itself, instead of a tool toward, you know, understanding our mind. And, you know, that whole level confusion thing really, becomes a way of looking at how we have beliefs about what our biological machinery that we call our bodies delivers to us as a result of our request, at our request, and just simply feeds back to us what we've put into the cause-effect machine of our mind. And that then becomes a way of looking at, honestly, what's going on in that machinery, so to speak, and seeing, is it working for us? You know, am I at peace? And that's really the only criteria that the Course suggests that we use is, you know, if we could see peace instead of what our mind is choosing at any given moment, then that is where the freedom lies.
Right. Well, and just so often, just like you said, you know, when you mentioned that, how's it working for you? You know, I'm just not sure that too many people would ever, you know, after being in a conflict or in a fight or just in a situation like that would go, yeah, that worked out really well. You know, even when we consider ourselves the winner. And, you know, that's something I've really noticed recently in myself is, you know, I'm very, very verbal. And there are times when, I mean, a lot of times I can just sit by for a while, but eventually then I'll just lash out. And I take quite a lot of pride and boy, I put them in their place. But you know what? It never feels good.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you it does. I tell you, boy, I really did that, but it feels awful. And once again, that goes with the honesty. You know, who am I really deceiving here? Yeah, I proved to you that I was able to put that other person in their place, and yet it makes me feel horrible, and so I'm being dishonest with myself. No, that's not working out very well for me.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, if kindness is the criteria, if we kind of look back and maybe do a retrospective analysis of when we've been fighting with someone or groups of people, and we've then subsequently reconciled those things. The reconciliation, if it's done from within a spirit of true forgiveness and true understanding that we're all in the same boat, there's a tremendous release that comes from that, a tremendous ease and relaxation that oftentimes even has a physical counterpart to it that is extremely helpful when we let ourselves and each other off the hook. And it usually can start with one or the other. It really doesn't matter because it will envelop everyone ultimately. That's what we're talking about. That's the consistency where we recognize that the ego is 100% consistently insane. the Holy Spirit is 100% consistently sane. And we're just being asked to consistently use our decision-making faculty to choose our inner kindness teacher, aka Holy Spirit, aka Jesus of A Course in Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really very simple, as you were pointing out earlier, but we sure like to complicate things because, you know, we're frankly all a bit afraid of having peace that makes all the stuff that we, you know, so diligently manufactured here irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What if all my worldly ambitions and dreams suddenly, you know, were not necessary? Well, then what would I be doing? Why would I be here?
Yeah.
and yet the purpose for being here, then over time, I think we realize that, you know, we have to shift to the purpose of the shared interest, the relationship that we have with everyone and everything then becomes the placeholder for this ultimate peace. But it, even in itself, that temporary relief becomes a very powerful motivating force because we recognize that in those moments where we stop using ego's counsel, we are at peace. And maybe they're fleeting and far between at first, but eventually we start, you know, practicing it enough that we see, wow, if I'm really honest with the ego's lies and how they aren't working for me, I can actually have moments of peace. I can actually let down my identity investment in the ego's defenses and discover that I'm perfectly safe and peaceful in those moments.
Yeah. Well, and someplace else, I don't remember now if it was in the manual or if I was looking at the text, but recently I was reading something and, you know, it goes back to that why wait for heaven, because it said, you know, we have a very high tolerance for pain, but, but it's not without limit.
Right.
And, you know, and it basically just said, you know, everybody eventually will make the choice. Yeah. Everybody will make the choice. And so it's
tolerance
just.
Paragraph?
Yeah, you know, I guess we could, but that's it. We will all make the choice eventually. So it's sort of like, you know, the minute you read that or the minute you think about that, all of a sudden I go, yeah, so why am I putting this off? You know, and, but there is something that is so calming when all of a sudden I realize, yeah, you know, all of us have a limit to how much pain we'll actually take. And eventually, you know, it's inevitable that we'll make the choice. It's inevitable that we will remember. I mean, that's really what it is. It's inevitable that we'll remember. It's inevitable that we'll make that choice. So part of me is like, why are you spinning your wheels? Just do it already.
Yeah. And the time frame that we take to unwind and undo the ego's dream is totally individually chosen, and that's okay. That's perfectly according to, you know, a plan, if you will, that we're not even aware of, but, and we're not in any position to judge what's working and what's not working even. I mean, especially when we try to judge based on external, results and outcomes.
Yeah. Well, and like here again, you know, some of the analogies that they use in A Course in Miracles, it's like time is a carpet rolling out, but that carpet already rolled back up. You know, it's like as soon as we thought all these things were true, immediately it just rolled back up. Or, you know, I love the analogy too of watching a movie, that it's sort of like you can keep watching the movie over and over and over and over, but it's still a done deal in a sense. So once again, you made the choice. You can keep pulling the movie off the shelf and you can keep watching it. You know, the movie of war and conflict, et cetera. You can do it as many times as you want. It's just up to you when you're willing to quit watching that movie. So you want to move on to tolerance?
Unless there's more on honesty you want to cover.
Oh, there's always tons more on honesty. But
yeah.
But you know, here again, once again, I really want to leave people with the idea, you know, maybe we're wrong. Maybe there is something else to see here. And you know, taking a look at this particular section on honesty is really worth your while. That honesty isn't just about saying I'm not a liar or that I always tell the truth. Because that's not what honesty is when it really comes down to it. You know, honesty of really, what is it that we want? What, you know, what is the inevitable, which is we will choose to wake up. So why not do it already? So yeah, let's move on to tolerance.
Okay.
You want me to start?
Sure.
Okay. So this is the third one, and it says, God's teachers do not judge. To judge is to be dishonest, for to judge is to assume a position you do not have. Judgment without self-deception is impossible. Judgment implies that you have been deceived in your brothers. How then could you not have been deceived in yourself? And by the way, I love this judgment one. And if we keep moving through the manual, you know, we get to that whole section on how to give up judgment. That is one of my very, very favorites in the manual, because I love that whole idea of you don't give up judgment because it's the wrong thing to do. You give up judgment because you're not good at it.
And ultimately it's impossible, but
yeah,
just as an aside.
Yeah. So it's sort of like, once again, I was kind of smiling when I saw this because, you know, it's like, guys, you're not good at judgment. It is impossible. And to think that you can judge somebody else, that you can judge a situation, that you can judge somebody else's behavior on a behavioral level is nothing but self-deception, you know? And to believe that you're not being deceived is just craziness. It is insanity.
Yeah. That the phrase that ties into that, that you know, comes to mind is we would have to be aware of an inconceivably large, you know, number of things, past, future, present, and to come, you know, and know the consequences of all the choices on everyone and everything. I'm paraphrasing greatly, but mm-hmm. and then it says who in honesty really is in a position to make those assessments. It's like, well, duh, nobody. You know, we're all looking through, you know, a pinhole at a dream world and seeing just the tiniest, you know, few photons of a shadow of a surreal dream. So how do we expect to make sense out of that nonsense, you know?
Yes. Well, and it's that classic thing of, you know, the analogy of the four or five men who are touching an elephant.
Exactly.
One says he's touching a wall. One says he's got a snake. You know, I don't remember what the others are, but just the idea
there's a rope.
We are clueless mm-hmm. that we're only seeing such a tiny, tiny part.
Yep.
And the earlier or the quicker we realize that and admit that, then I'm not going to say it's not difficult to release judgment, because it is, because we're so good at it. You know, I mean, we're so trained at it. Let's put it that way.
We're invested in
it. Yes.
Yeah,
but we're not good at it at all, because we're like the man with the elephant. We're constantly coming to wrong conclusions about
mm-hmm.
something.
Mm-hmm. And if we could see the humor in that, you know, I think I've seen it phrased, the six blind men and the elephant, or three or four, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, that we're really all in this very comical position that we put ourselves in, like Mr. Magoo and
yes.
And we, you know, we think we have some grasp of what's going on, but we're basically clueless here. So, I mean, that I think feeds in beautifully to release, you know, relinquishing judgment and for, providing a truly solid foundation for the tolerance that this paragraph talks about. So, do you want to read further?
Yeah. You want to go ahead and pick up where I left off?
Okay, let's see.
Judgment implies a lack of trust is where I left off.
Right, right. Okay. Judgment implies a lack of trust, and trust remains the bedrock of the teacher of God's whole thought system, which we spent a couple sessions talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Let this be lost and all his learning goes. Without judgment, are all things equally acceptable? For who could judge otherwise? Without judgment are all men brothers. For who is there who stands apart? Judgment destroys honesty and shatters trust. No teacher of God can judge and hope to learn. So, and again, judgment is really part of the ego's arsenal of sabotage tactics and techniques that essentially says there's choices on this horizontal axis that are better than other choices. There's a hierarchy of stuff. And in the text, the first thing out of the chute is, you know, there's no order of difficulty in miracles. There's no hierarchy of illusions. Illusion A equals illusion B equals illusion C. You know, what part of that don't we understand, basically? but yet we need to be gentle with ourselves. Where would I get that? Which is the next characteristic. Because when we see that, you know, we've been judging and realize, oh, whoops, that doesn't work very well. You know, it's really humorous to see how silly it is to judge and how, you know, ultimately insane it is to think that we have any, you know, clue of what's going on, especially when we make the dream world real and we make it seem like our reality. That destroys the basis for our any kind of judgment, which, you know, we don't have anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and I would remind people too, you know, this is one of the areas that's probably difficult to really grasp. And there's a number of things in the course are difficult to grasp because we keep wanting to bring it down to the physical level.
Right.
So for instance, it doesn't mean that you don't prefer vanilla ice cream over chocolate. Yes, maybe you prefer. But where the problem comes in is believing that one is inherently better than another. Like for instance, when it says in here, all things are without judgment, are all things equally acceptable?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but that, then that gets down to our opinions as well. Right. You know, whereas we don't believe that. We truly believe that our opinions, our way of doing something is inherently better than another. And yet, as Bruce said, if it's all illusion, then one illusion is really as good as another. And you know, one of the underlying things of A Course in Miracles too is, you know, you can't really, I mean, we believe that we're in these bodies. That is our experience, but we can't ultimately change who we are. We're just spiritual beings. None of this stuff, whether we're eating chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream or what we're doing, can ultimately change who we are as spiritual beings. Mm-hmm. You know, we can manipulate the physicality of our lives, but we're never really changing. I mean, we're always innocent spiritual beings, always.
Yes. Thank you for bringing up that word, because I think innocence is a really important aspect to the truth of what we are, which is what all these characteristics, you know, remind us, and that, you know, we all have that intrinsic, perfect safety, innocence, kindness, beauty, love, you know, all the words that I think in the section that even maybe it's at the end of it, it says, you know, something to the effect that, you know, all these other characteristics really are really beyond the scope of the course, because really the purpose of the course is to bring us back to our right mind and to have us choose, that inclusive identity consistently that then brings us to the point where we can be restored to the awareness of, you know, beauty, love, truth, all that stuff that really is, referring to Ken Wapnick's classic chart, is, you know, above the top line there in the perfect oneness category. Mm-hmm. That is our true nature. But as you were pointing out, helpfully and eloquently, PCA, you know, we need to focus on where we think we are and use the classroom of our perceptions to get back to our mind. And to see that every opportunity is a forgiveness classroom opportunity, and to be gentle with ourselves and tolerant of ourselves and each other, because we're not in a position to judge, and because it's only through that honesty and trusting that inner kindness teacher that we have the ability to transcend, you know, the craziness of that inner saboteur's agenda. And find the peace that we never left.
Yes. Well, and this could take us off track, and you know I love to go off track. I saw something recently, and now I can't think of where it was, but it was somebody, it might have been a lawyer, and she was describing, I think, a serial killer.
Okay.
But anyway, she made some comment like, what we always forget is that each one of these people is somebody's friend. Mm-hmm. You know, and I kind of go back to, you know, I think about that sometimes. No matter what somebody has done, they are always somebody's baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, it's not that I'm saying that, you know, we need to embrace these people and embrace their behavior.
Right.
But, you know, even when we can kind of get to that point and say every single person was at one point somebody's baby. And in her case, you know, saying this is somebody's friend. You know, this is somebody's confidant. This is somebody, you know, somebody loves this person. Mm-hmm. You know, if we could get to that more on a spiritual level of just try to get beyond the face of whatever, you know, the body is, or the face of the behavior, just to even acknowledge that there is something else underneath.
Exactly. I have a specific example of what you just said that I'd like to share. Recently I watched a documentary, which is very eye-opening, about essentially the erosion of the values of Republican conservative ideals in this country, in with one particular focus being a gentleman named Roger Stone. And then the documentary is called Get Me Roger Stone. And one of the things that was presented in this very even-handed, candid expose, if you will, of this guy's political shenanigans and essentially, you know, spending more than three decades setting our current president up to be, you know, in the office that he's in, and gloating over the amount of deception that he has been able to pull off and all this kind of stuff, all these shenanigans. There was some segments where, and he, you know, very was forthright about that. And, you know, in fact, you know, looks forward to those opportunities to do that. And I was thinking, well, here's a metaphor for, you know, all of our egos run amok. And at the same time, they had a segment that was kind of like, bingo, where they showed, they interviewed his kids, and to them he was a, you know, a loving father. And you know, just like what you're saying, you know, we have to remember that we're all a mix of those two thought systems. We're all
right.
battling with those things. And we all gloat in making our dream real. And that's where the honesty and the tolerance comes in. We have to be willing to be honest with ourselves about our own motivations and how much we want to, you know, see blood and guts in the teeth, you know.
how much we want to prove our own innocence at somebody else's expense.
At someone else's expense, exactly. And there's so much of Ken's material that is about looking at that and you know, being honest and looking with a kind-hearted mind at the insanity of the ego and saying, you know, maybe I could leave the desert of ego's desolation if I am consistently gentle with everyone and everything that crosses my path. And again, it's not talking about behavior. I mean, if this guy came up for election or, you know, whatever, I would in the ballot box, very likely, you know, choose against everything that he's done. But at the same time, you know, that the segment about the family members, you know, we're just kind of like, bingo. Okay. Yeah. We're all in the same boat. We all have those two thought systems. Some may appear to demonstrate that more than us, but again, Another example we were just talking about. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in this person's mind. All I know is that if my thoughts are of a condemning nature, on the level of mind, then I'm straying from the curriculum that the course suggests. And that's I think where we can use the honesty of the mind and the two thought systems. It always comes back to those two teachers. And we can practice honesty and tolerance in that way by just looking at the things that cross our path, whether it's a political documentary or someone cutting us off in traffic or a comment that a spouse or a family member makes or a coworker or, you know, it doesn't matter. Anything that comes up in front of our face on a given day, as Gary Renard's teachers say, is fair game for our forgiveness classroom, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. And you know what? We have got to close down this show. We have about 1 minute or our producer is going to make a judgment and yank us off the air. So do you have something you want to say in 1 minute or less?
Sure. You know, actually, yesterday I was going through, Lynn Corona and Tim Wise have been doing this course and coffee chat for a number of months now. And yesterday I put a post up on ACIM blog that has a handful of links to some of the videos that they've done. I've participated in a bunch of them myself and they're quite good. Along with, links to all of Ken Wapnick's videos on YouTube. And there's actually a Japanese website that has taken some of Ken's audios. So anyway, if you go to ACM blog, that'll be the topmost post there this morning. And a lot of great stuff. I've put, you know, YouTube, ACM YouTube galore or something like that as the post title. So, but I always like you also encourage people to go to ACIM.org and FACIM.org for the two sister organizations and support those. Foundation for Course in Miracles and Foundation for Inner Peace. So thank you, CA. Always a pleasure.
Okay. And by the way, I just posted those two, ACIM blog and also FACIM.org in the chat room. So if you're listening to this live, you can go to the chat room and check those out. And if you're not, you can always go back and find that on Facebook later. So Bruce, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, CA.
And Scott Weaver, thank you for being our producer and keeping us on track and keeping us in line. So everybody, thank you for participating today. I thank you for coming into the chat room for those of you who did that and who are listening to this, whether it's live or on an encore version. So please stay tuned because we have more live programming coming up here on 1-2 Radio. And you have been listening to the Friday Morning Show with C.A. Brooks and my guest, Bruce Rawls on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about honesty and tolerance.